I'm going to be preaching from verses 13 to the end and the first couple of verses of chapter 24 as well. So quite a big reading. We're going to need God's help to listen carefully, to understand it. I'm going to need God's help to be faithful as I help us work through it as well. So before we read, let's pray. Our Father God, we do thank you for your good words. I ask that you would do good to us through it this morning, even though in some places it is quite hard to hear. Father, please keep us from hypocrisy. Help us to trust Jesus this morning. And I need your help. Help me to speak rightly and faithfully and clearly of the Bible today. Amen. So chapter 23, I'm going to read from verse 13. Jesus says to the crowds and the disciples who are listening, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and lands to make a single proselyte. When he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'If anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath.' You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, 'If anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath.' You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may also be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets.' Thus, you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Therefore, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Bacariah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, you see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And we thank God for his good word, even when it is hard sometimes. Well, I'd like to start this morning by wondering if any of us, as we were growing up, ever dreamed of being an actor. It seems like a pretty cool job, doesn't it? When you spend your whole life pretending to be someone else, playing a part, pretending you are different to how you really are. Children, I wonder sometimes if you play at being actors, whether you pretend, whether sometimes you put on a mask and pretend to be something that you are not really. Well, in our passage today, picking up from last week, Jesus is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and Jesus says that they are actors, not on the stage or on the television, but they do spend their whole lives pretending that they are one thing when they are really another. Lots and lots of times in our passage today, you will have heard it, Jesus calls them hypocrites. And I don't know if you know this, I only recently discovered this actually, but in Greek, the original language that Matthew's gospel is written in, hypocrite is just the word that they used for actor. And that is the point about the scribes and the Pharisees. They are actors, they spend their whole lives playing, pretending to be people who love God, pretending they are godly, pretending they follow God's laws, when actually on the inside, that is not who they really are. And Jesus, last week, he said to his disciples and the crowds, that is people like you and me, that we must be careful not to be like the Pharisees. Don't be like the Pharisees. That's what we heard last week from Jesus. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be an actor pretending to love God, when actually you really only love yourself. We are going to whiz through this passage because it's quite long at quite a speed. But as we whiz through this morning, we need to remember that Jesus is saying to us, don't be an actor. Don't be a hypocrite like the Pharisees. And Jesus is going to teach us what this acting, what this hypocrisy looks like, and the damage that it does. He does this with these seven woes. You know, woe is that great cry of danger, of warning, of anguish. And seven times, or seven is the number often used in the Bible for completion. This is complete woe. The hypocrisy of the Pharisees is a total disaster, and they are headed for total disaster. So remember, as we dive in, what Jesus said last week, verse 3, don't do the works they do. Don't be an actor, a hypocrite like the Pharisees. Okay, so let's get going. Let's look at why not and try and keep up with me today. Woe number one, we find in verse 13. Woe number one in verse 13. And Jesus says, you stop people from entering God's kingdom. So verse 13 says that they shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. It is a door slammed violently, decisively. It's unbelievable, really, actually. These guys who are supposed to be shepherding God's people into God's kingdom are actually slamming the door shut to them so they cannot be part of God's kingdom. the whole of Matthew's gospel, really, you'll know this if you've been with us for a while, it is about the kingdom. It's about what the kingdom is like, and it's about how to be in the kingdom. And you do that by taking up your cross and following the king, King Jesus. But the Pharisees, they will not have people turning and trusting God's king, but instead trying to live by the rules, instead trying to keep the rules, living in such a way that makes it look like you are in God's kingdom, even if really you are not. It's acting. They stand outside the kingdom, and what they do is they slam the doors shut so that no one else can get in either. And then we go into woe number two. Have a look at verse 15, because that sort of adds to that picture. They don't just shut people out of the kingdom, but they lead them to hell. The Pharisees lead people to hell. Now, verse 15 describes them traveling across sea and across lands to make proselytes, that is, converts. You know, sort of imagine them as missionaries. But the problem is that these missionaries are not leading people into the kingdom of God. They are leading them to hell. They don't go with the gospel of grace, teaching you to follow and trust the king who dies for you, who saves you, who changes you on the inside. They go and they teach you to try and keep the law, which is an impossible burden, a task at which you are bound to fail. So when you cannot succeed at keeping the law, well, you become like a Pharisee. You at least pretend you are keeping the law when people are watching you. And you become a hypocrite, an actor, just like them. And the hypocrite's place, hear what Jesus says, and this is hard to hear. The hypocrite's place, verse 15, is in hell. He calls the Pharisees children of hell. Hell, that is the place of eternal judgment on those who reject King Jesus. But the Pharisees, they slam the doors on eternal life and instead say, hey, come with me this way. Come with me to hell. Then we get to the third woe. So we're going to be in verses 16 to 22 now, as we keep on building this picture. And now we see of the Pharisees that earthly things are more important to them than God. Earthly things are more important to them than God. So you get a taste of this in verse 16. Let me read that again. They say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. So what's going on here? As far as the Pharisees are concerned, if anyone makes a promise on the temple, that's sort of like a promise before God. Maybe think of a wedding vows said in a church before God. Well, that doesn't really mean much to them. But if you promise on the goal of the temple, well, then you better keep your promise. Gold and riches are more important to them than honouring God. And that's the gist of those verses. Jesus calls them blind. Verse 16, blind guides. Verse 17, blind fools. Verse 19, blind men. They cannot see what is most important. They cannot tell what is worthy of worship, what is worthy of their allegiance. We've seen it time and time again in these chapters. They do not love God, but they do love the perks of the job. And then woe number four, verses 23 and 24, again sort of comes in a pair with the last one, builds on that picture. They love little rules, but they don't care about the things that God cares about. They love little rules, but they don't care about the things that God cares about. So we're given in verse 23 an example of the kind of obvious, showy acting that the Pharisees and the scribes were good at, the outward law keeping. We are told there that they tithed mint and dill and cumin. Okay, so if you're unfamiliar with it, tithing is, it's an Old Testament law where they set aside 1/10 of everything they produced for the ongoing work of the Lord. So these scribes and Pharisees, imagine it, they're getting ready to cook dinner and they go out into the garden to get some herbs to put in their food. They cut it off, they bring it into the kitchen. And before those herbs are dropped into the bolognese, they'd snip off 1/10 of it. And then they'd pass that along to the priests. And Jesus actually doesn't say there's anything wrong with that. But it is wrong that the scribes and the Pharisees will follow laws like that with incredible piousness. And they will add little law upon little law on top of that to regulate it, to make sure everyone's doing the right thing. But they don't care, verse 23, about justice and mercy and faithfulness. They have made little rules to regulate little laws. And that's not inappropriate in itself, but the things that are close to God's heart, the things that are integral to his character, like justice and mercy and faithfulness, they don't care about that at all. So, you know, don't go to the Pharisees if you want to see wrongs righted, if you want to see acts of righteousness rewarded. They are an unjust, merciless, and faithless bunch. And Jesus actually sort of with that gives us a funny picture. I like the picture he gives us in verse 24. Their outward and picky law keeping, their acting, it is like getting a pair of tweezers and delicately reaching into your wine glass and plucking out the little gnat that's floating in there. All the time, ignoring that there is a huge, stinking, hairy camel sitting in your wine glass, which you gulp down. Their priorities are upside down. They claim to care about God's law, but they only care about small things and they neglect the weightier matters of the law. And then we push on. Woes 5 and 6, we're going to do those together. So look at verse 25 to 28. It's another angle on describing their hypocrisy. And this is the angle that they try to look godly, but really they are dead inside. They try to look godly, but really they are dead inside. So Jesus gives us a couple more pictures. And actually, they're quite funny in a way. Verse 25, he says, look at this one. You clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. So imagine that you came round to my house for dinner. Difficult to do at the moment, but imagine that that's going to happen, hopefully at some point in the future. And I was worried about what you might think of me. And so after the previous night's meal, I went into the kitchen and I washed just the outsides of the cups and the wine glasses and the bowls. After all, that's the bit that you can see, right? They'll never notice the brown stains in the mug or the smears of ketchup up the side of the bowl. Well, that's stupid, isn't it? And Jesus says that their greed and indulgence, those are the smears and stains that they haven't cleared up. It's still all about them, about how they look, about acting, not about trusting God for the change that he does on the inside. And then the next illustration is in verse 27. They are like, we are told, whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. And it's the same sort of picture. You try to look good on the outside, but inside you're full of death and uncleanness. Verse 28, hypocrisy and lawlessness. These great keepers of the law, Jesus says, you are lawless. You can dress a grave up, can't you? You can chisel the most intricate writing on the gravestone. You can keep the graveside lined with fresh, beautiful flowers. You can even erect statues around it. You could make it a place of peace and meditation. But underneath it are still dead bones. The Pharisees are living a lie, pretending that they are alive when actually, deep down inside, they are dead. That is what their hypocrisy is like. And then we get to the final woe, at number 7. So look at verses 29 to 36. And this woe starts to feel a little bit different what Jesus is describing. For it describes the persecution of those who speak God's word. The Pharisees persecute those who speak God's word. So verses 29 to 31 says that they were descended from people who were responsible for the deaths of God's prophets. And so God's prophets, the Old Testament, they were the ones who spoke God's words, who called God's people to repent when they had turned away from God and needed to change. And what did their forefathers do with them? They shed their blood, we are told in verse 30. And the Pharisees sort of would come at that from saying, oh yes, but we're not like that. Well, Jesus says, well, actually, maybe you don't know yourself. Verse 32, he says to them, fill up then the measure of your fathers. He's saying, you are just like them. You don't care about the things God cares about. You don't listen to his words. You won't repent of your sin. And you are going to be just like those who came before you. Because verse 34, Jesus has looked back saying, this is what your forefathers did. Now verse 34, he looks forward. This is what you are going to do. God will continue to send prophets and wise men and scribes, people armed with his word. And what will you do? Will you listen? Will you realize your hypocrisy? Will you stop acting and repent and trust God's king? Will emphatically no. They will kill, we are told, and crucify and flog and persecute those who stand up for God's word, those who call people to repent and trust Jesus before it is too late. But these religious leaders are deeply, deeply guilty of terrible and unrepentant sin against God. They reject him and his words. And as we get towards the end of this passage, Jesus makes it clear that he will not let this hypocrisy, this acting, stand forever. You cannot be a religious hypocrite, pretend to be a believer, act the part of a Christian, and get away with it. And Jesus makes that clear in two big ways. Firstly, religious hypocrites will be held personally accountable. So look at verse 33. Imagine Jesus said this about you, how cutting, how devastating this would be. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Says Jesus. Now, but we might not feel like hypocrisy is that big a deal. After all, we see it all around us, all the time, every day, right? But Jesus says it is sinful. It is deeply destructive. It leads people to hell, turns its back on God. And so Jesus says of these unrepentant hypocrites, you are going that same direction. How on earth are you going to escape that same fate? In verse 35, he speaks of the blood of the righteous coming on them from Abel to Zechariah. That is from A to Z, from the beginning of the Old Testament to the end of the Old Testament. The blood of the righteous who have been killed will come back on them Jesus is telling them to expect the destruction and the havoc that they have wreaked to come back on their heads, that they will be held personally and eternally responsible. The price for religious hypocrisy, Jesus says, is hell. And so religious hypocrites will be held personally accountable. But there is another way that Jesus also won't let this hypocrisy stand forever. So just glance down at the first two verses of chapter 24. We get Jesus and his disciples now a distance away from the temple. And they look back at it. And Jesus says to them, "You see this mighty and important building? Well, it's going to be knocked down. There won't be one stone left on top of another." You know, put simply, Jesus is going to knock down the temple. He's going to put an end to temple worship. In large part, those verses are looking forward in time. So about 40 years later, in AD 70, the Roman army would sweep into Jerusalem, tearing the city to the ground, tearing the temple to the ground. But the temple in Jesus' day, it was corrupt, it was full of hypocrisy. And in 70 AD, Jesus' promise would be fulfilled as the stones would be literally thrown down. But prior to that, actually, temple worship would really come to an end with the arrival of Jesus. God no longer hidden behind a curtain, but now walking with his people. The king gathering his kingdom, the king who would die as a sacrifice to put an end to all other sacrifices. There would be no need for the temple anymore. The scribes and the Pharisees, well, they would lose their power over people. So Jesus won't let religious hypocrisy stand. He holds hypocrites personally responsible, and he put an end to the temple and the corruption of those temple leaders. But in our last couple of minutes, I want us to think about one final thing from this passage. And those are from those verses we've not quite touched yet, verses 37 to 39. And that is that Jesus does not delight in their destruction. Jesus does not delight in their destruction. So these verses are a lament. Jesus is grieving over his land, his nation, his people. You know, in Luke's gospel, we see Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. And well, I think we're supposed to feel something of that here. Listen to Jesus. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." So look, they have sinned against their God and King. But Jesus's verdict on them, Jesus's judgment of them, is not a dispassionate verdict that you might pronounce on someone you've never met. Actually, Jesus is mourning as a parent might mourn over a child who has committed a great crime and has been sentenced to prison or maybe even to death row. Jesus continues, "How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." But religious hypocrites have been given chance after chance to turn back to God, to be forgiven. And Jesus is saying, "I wish you had come back to me." He gives us this beautiful picture of a hen gathering her chicks under her wings, protecting them, keeping them close. That was always the desire. And it is his desire with these guys. But, the end of verse 37, "you were not willing." Even as he criticizes their hypocrisy, he would still have it that they come back to him. And this morning, as we finish, I want to say two quick things. Firstly, obviously from the passage, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be an actor. Beware the poison of hypocrisy, pretending maybe to do all the things that a Christian does without that really being what's going on in your heart. Beware of the eternal damage that it can do to you and to other people. If perhaps, as we read of the Pharisees and the scribes, you feel your hypocrisy exposed, can I encourage you this morning, especially Christian people who already trust in Jesus, don't touch up your actor's mask to make it more believable, to make it better, to make yourself better at pretending, but repent. Seek God's help today for genuine change. Don't pretend to be good at being a Christian. None of us is. And boy, do I know that this morning about myself more than anyone. And we need to be honest about that. You know, maybe when we're in our fellowship groups, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Are you fine? Or do you really struggle with sin? Do you really need God's help? Do you really need God's forgiveness for things? We need to be honest about our failings, not pretending that we are good and fine. God doesn't require us not to sin to be in his kingdom, but he requires us to trust Jesus, to acknowledge our sin, and to trust him who loves to save us and changes weak failures like us. And secondly and lastly this morning, if you realize this morning that you have been playing a game of religion, but you have never really on the inside trusted Jesus, you've been acting something on the outside that is not true, really, please hear the severity of Jesus's words, that he will not let religious hypocrisy stand forever. But also know that he doesn't desire your destruction. He desires that you would turn to him, trust him. He desires to gather you under his wings. He loves to welcome home those who repent and say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to stop acting. I need you to sort me out. I need your help. And so as we finish, I'm going to pray now. I'm going to pray that God would keep us from hypocrisy and that he would teach us not to worry about what we look like on the outside, but that we would trust him and that we might love him on the inside. So let me pray for us. Father God, I feel this morning the temptation to hypocrisy as much as anyone else. And so please forgive me and forgive us for when we have pretended that we are godly and righteous and fine when we are not. Please help us as a church to be quick to acknowledge our sin. And rather than trying to deal with it ourselves by making a better mask, help us to repent, to seek your forgiveness, to ask you for help, to ask you for change. For some among us, perhaps, who have never trusted Christ, I ask that you would help us to see the folly of hypocrisy, empty religion. And Father, it means nothing if you are not at the center of it. And I ask that you would help us this morning to love you truly, inwardly, and not to worry about what other people think of us. And we ask all these things for our good and for your glory. Amen.